Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 29th, 181st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, still working hard even though it's summer, Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Hey, guy.
Hey, good to be back.
Where'd you go?
Well, geez.
Well, you said be back.
I mean, we'll be back in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I always look forward to my visits here.
Yeah. Well, that explains a big black mark on the calendar then.
Yeah. Big red X. Yep. Yeah.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about summer, some of the things that are going on. Also, since last we got together, graduation has occurred. So we'll talk a bit about how that went and kind of catch up on things. Throw a little mustard, a little relish. It'll be happy. It's summertime. We'll be back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Henry Pennick. Golf tips are like aspirin. One may do you good, but if you swallow the whole bottle, you'll be lucky to survive.
I need to get you a baseball book.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, we had the Yogi Berra ones. I kind of ripped through those of about 15 years ago.
There you go.
I think the book's around here somewhere, but, you know, you can handle Yogi in shovelfuls. Truckloads, a little rough.
Yogiisms, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, bring it on. We'll add your book to the collection of the quote books. Yeah, eventually there'll be a library out here.
And you'll still be here.
Undoubtedly. School's over. The year is done. What impressions do you have, Dave, about the class of 2012?
I think every year administrators, principals, presidents can say, you know, that was truly a great class. This one was unique in the way that it came together as a group. And it's not the last that they'll see and hear and talk to each other. One of those tight-knit groups that are going to all parts of the country, but will be a group that stays close and connected. And I can see in 10 years coming back for their 10-year reunion fully intact. A lot of talented individuals and some kids that were very impressive, not just, you know, academically, athletically, but some real musicians, just some dynamite kids that...
As people?
And people, yeah. They learned some things, too, that made them, you know, young men and women. And one of our female students from Korea, Jisoo Kim, is going to UC Berkeley to study electrical engineering. So we're very proud of her and everybody that got through their high school experience and came out on the better side of it. So 43 students came through and got a diploma, and we're all quite very proud of all of them.
When you look at where the kids go, does it matter as long as they go to a four-year or they're doing something to continue their education?
Continuing their education, certainly. There are students that go to the police academy, that go into the military, that go to design school. We don't look at them and say, you know what, you didn't go to a university. We didn't do our job, or you didn't, you know, do what you needed to do. No, continue lifelong learning is about just that, getting out there and experiencing things that you've worked all this time to prepare yourself for. Now start to use some of those things that you learned and enjoy learning and learning new things and realize that you're not an expert and you never will be, so you might as well keep at it.
Where is the most exotic school that any of the kids are going to? When you say Berkeley, and yeah, I think, okay, I mean, a tough school to get into, fine. I just probably hacked off of a couple of folks. But Berkeley's pedestrian, West Coast school, you would be disappointed if there weren't some kids that were going to Berkeley, or to Oregon, or Stanford, or St. Mary's, or, I mean, you expect those. Yeah. Where's the one where you mentioned and somebody goes, really?
Exactly. I got a great example of that. We had a student, a young man who, top of his class, could have gone anywhere, was looking at Pepperdine, wanted to stay West Coast, but he chose a school called The Masters. The Masters is a school in Southern California, and it's a religious school. It's one that's kind of off the beaten path, but it's one that's well respected within the religious community. And he's a young man that wants to study law, but he wanted to study in an atmosphere where ethics are involved and where, you know, you can talk about important messages behind the law and how to apply that in today's world that is just that in an ethical way and one that, you know, can do some good and
so
help
where,
those.
Where's the school located?
Northern part of L.A. So I'm thinking Oxnard, that area. But it's one that I hadn't heard of until this year, and this young man had decided to go there. But, yeah, that's I would say that's pretty exotic.
Yeah. So he found it on his own?
Yeah. He and his family did some research and looked for schools that would fit what he was looking to go into, and that one did just perfect. And it's more than just the academic pursuit. It's the life pursuit. It's, you know, continuing the learning in an environment that's like St. Bernard's, where you can, you know, talk about religion and those sort of things and help that develop you as a whole individual.
Anybody going to theology?
No. However, we
or religious studies, you know, that whole
we way. Have one employee that has worked for us for 3 years that's going into the seminary in Michigan. He decided that was a career choice that he wanted to make, and we fully support him and behind him, and he's going to be going back to his home parish back in Michigan to join the seminary. So that was pretty cool. I applauded him for that.
Yeah, I would imagine that was kind of fun. Of course, you know, he'll have to come back and do some blessings or something around the school, right?
Oh, definitely. He enjoyed his time here, so I'm sure we'll get him back.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, we talked a little bit about the seniors going on. You have a special component. You mentioned one of the gals, the international. When those kids are selecting their colleges, do they tend to disperse just as far afield as the local kids that choose to go?
Yeah, we have our international students going all over the map from Michigan to Arizona. One student's going to a pharmacy school at Rutgers in New Jersey. So they have a mindset coming in to an American high school where they have this group of elite schools that they'll only go to. We try to get them to open up that group a little bit and include some schools that might be a better fit for them academically, geographically, and you know, get them to see that there's more out there than just the Berkeleys and the Yales and the Harvards, although those are pretty good schools, of course.
Yeah, that's kind of the top echelon there.
But then again, you know, getting into those schools is quite tough. And, you know, we introduce, you know, our students to schools throughout the country. And, you know, there are certain students that come in with a particular subject area that they want to continue their studies in and major. And I mentioned that pharmacy school at Rutgers, you know, that's one of the better ones. So they've got a pretty good idea coming in. I would say probably more so than our domestic students in terms of knowing what's out there, knowing where the top is and trying to shoot for that. And if that doesn't work, you know, there's some other schools that they can settle into and do quite well.
So are you going to take that lesson and then work with the freshman sophomore classes
mm-hmm.
more rigorously to get them to understand what the choices are and mm-hmm. start kind of gearing things up for where they want to head off to a year or two before many?
Absolutely. The public schools have a program called AVID where it's targeted towards those low, even mid-income students who don't have that exposure to education past high school. So you get those students thinking about, you know, making trips to colleges on the West Coast and thinking beyond Humboldt County, thinking out there and really laying the groundwork, like you said, their freshman and sophomore year, so that when it comes time to apply to those schools, they've already done their homework, they've visited the campuses, they've got all their applications and essays ready, and can really get out there. So we're looking to incorporate a lot of those elements in that AVID program into our private school setting and expose, you know, our students, because we've got those students that are from different economic backgrounds, and we can't just cater to one set, and we need to make sure that we expose all of our students, and I think we do a good job of that, and we're definitely excited about this AVID program, the elements of which that we can incorporate into what we do in college counseling.
You mentioned the international kids, most of them being from Asia. Is it easier for them to get placement in the Midwest and the East Coast than it is on the West Coast?
It's easier for them to get placement, period. As international students, there's a demand even at the university level to bring in these students. Part of it is money driven because they pay a little bit higher tuition. But then again, these are students that are typically pretty strong in the math and the sciences to be attractive to schools. Like I mentioned, you know, just off the top of my head, Michigan State seems to be a destination for international students. Arizona State seems to be a destination.
Lansing, Michigan?
Yeah, you bet.
The home of, okay, Sparty, and
the
that's
Spartans,
about it.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm thinking, what else is in Lansing?
So, again, that kind of goes back to them having this idea before they come in of, okay, Michigan State is a good school for this. Arizona State, we found, is a good school for journalism. So we've got students that want to study journalism.
So they're already, in 7th and 8th grade, or their equivalent thereof, they're locked into these various areas of interest, and they know the top five schools, say, in each mm-hmm. of these areas of discipline.
Very much so. Whether that's them doing the research or their parents driving them towards a field that's similar to what they're doing or what they aspire their children to do.
So as you're looking at some of those school potentials for these kids, or they're looking at it, mm-hmm. is there an overlay of Catholicism? Is that something that is attractive for some of the kids, or does that enter into their equation?
I think for some, you can look at schools on the West Coast like St. Mary's and USF and Gonzaga, where we have had students attend and continue their Catholic education in those institutions. For a certain select group, yeah, that's something that they want to continue to pursue. As a group, no, I think that they're driven just to get to the best school that they can and that they can afford to.
Probably always find the church in the neighborhood.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we can certainly send them off with a map and a directory, you bet.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of contact names and numbers, and everybody's happy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's where you go on Sunday, yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with St. Bernard's President Dave Sharp. Dave, as you're looking at the future for St. Bernard's this upcoming season, you've got summertime, you've got the academic year certainly mm-hmm. around the corner. What's the next big thing mm-hmm. at SB?
Two things, kind of one operational, the other out in the distance that's more big picture. We're looking to bring in some very strong teachers to bolster a few of our departments, and we've had some good success here in recent weeks doing that, in particular math and science. We've hired four new teachers, all of which are credentialed, all of which on average have 12 years of experience. So experienced credentialed teachers that bring a lot, that can bring a lot to St. Bernard's with their knowledge, but also with their ability to work within a setting like St. Bernard's and wear many hats and make connections with students and make themselves available outside of classroom for those students. The next big picture, as we just celebrated the 100-year jubilee of the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange and their arrival in Humboldt County in June of 1912 to start a school that would later become St. Bernard's, as we look to commemorate that and build towards the future, there's a capital campaign that we're going to be unveiling here pretty soon that has a big goal, big target in mind, that can really bring us leaping forward into the future and offer some improvements facilities-wise, staff-wise, and just really kind of change the face of St. Bernard's in a way that hasn't been done in a long time. So, for the sisters to celebrate their 100-year, that's great. We enjoyed it. It was something that we hope to continue to build on. But as a school, we have our roots in their coming to Humboldt County back in 1912 as well. So it's really our time to make that a part of where we're going in the future and to build a capital campaign to raise some funds towards some big ideas we have that, like I said, can change the face of St. Bernard's.
Now, there have been in the past all-weather field thrown out as one, new buildings, multiple levels, changing the front to the back and the back to the front, big presentation styles. And mm-hmm. So when you're talking, is that the magnitude that you're talking about? Is it something a little, are we going to have the St. Bernard's aquatic team with the new Olympic pool? How big on this?
I think what we're talking about is starting with $1 million campaign and to really improve things within the walls, classrooms, facilities, and the like. Down the road, once we can build some momentum with a successful campaign, looking a little bit bigger picture into really fixing or replacing the building that was built in the 50s that we call home, and upgrading, modernizing it, that would be the next step. But right now, it's getting back in touch with our alumni and some people in the area and saying, hey, here's our vision for the future for St. Bernard's for the next 100 years. Help us get there. And I think that, $1 million isn't what it once was, but it's still something that can get us a long, long way and benefit not just the kids that are going to our school now, but generations down the road that can, benefit from that generosity.
What plans do you have for the elementary school? Mm-hmm. Is that part of this overarching long-term? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be different? How does that work in for the next year or two?
We're fortunate in the sense that we have another facility, another campus right next door to us, across the street, that is not being fully utilized. It is not being utilized because we have K through 12 in the one building. It's cozy, it's comfortable, but there'll be a day when enrollment grows to the point where, we've got to get back into our elementary school campus and push our grades back over there in our classrooms. That'll be something that's really enrollment driven. It might be something that's done in stages. Okay, let's send kindergarten over, or let's send the entire thing over if enrollment balloons quickly. But really, it's enrollment driven, and we have the facility. We're lucky for when that day comes.
As you look 10 years out, what do you see?
You know what? I see a school that benefits the students of our area, the children of our area, you know, regardless of background, but does it in a way that's preparing them for life. We do that now, but there's so much more technology-wise that we can utilize. There's many opportunities out there that we just, budget-wise, can't really tap. In terms of, you know, perhaps personnel is one, and hiring more teachers and more qualified teachers as well. That's the ultimate goal, the vision, to have a school that's driven by quality, credentialed, experienced, dedicated teachers that can utilize everything within our backyard to benefit our students in a way that isn't just, you know, something they'll use for the first, you know, 18 years of their life, but something that they'll continue with them wherever they go in life, and build those lessons that they need to have to face this ever-changing world and to be a good citizen and part of their community wherever they go.
Sounds like it's more of an internal than an external.
You don't
need new buildings. You don't need new huge upgrades, things like that. It's more building from within.
I think building from within is really step one. You know, can we get there with what we have? Absolutely. You know, the people that work in the schools, in our school, and really any school in general, it's the people that make it work. And we're very fortunate that we have very dedicated people that do love what they're doing, love the children, and can make it work with, you know, limited resources. So the vision, the goal is to give them the resources to do it that much better, that much easier, that much, really in a way that we can reach more students and have the ability to maybe one day lower tuition.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this Friday afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, you mentioned tuition kind of going out on the break. Number of schools are looking at the iPad or the equivalent thereof in lieu of textbooks. Mm-hmm. Even the county supervisors. Mm-hmm. I talked to Ryan about that a little while ago, and he said, yeah. Their recover period is within one budget cycle of all the paperwork that they do mm-hmm. to get to their folks. When you look at some innovative cost-saving moves, mm-hmm. is the iPad to replace textbooks? Are there things that you guys are considering and contemplating that because you're a private school or because of some of the opportunities that alumni may provide mm-hmm. that you're able to pounce on that will make the school that much more efficient and effective?
You know, the iPad idea has been out there, and it's a great one on the surface. When you look at the cost of the iPad versus the cost of textbooks, let's say the annual cost of replacing or purchasing new, what's behind that is the support that you need to fix the iPad when something happens, to replace software, to do these various back office things to keep it running smoothly. There have been those districts that have developed and brought this to their schools, but then found out 6 months, 12 months down the road that it costs just as much, if not more, to just maintain what they have in terms of the iPod, the technology. So it would take really just a two-prong approach to get the equipment, but then to be able to support it so that you can use it in the way that it's intended. I think really with any technology that's true. But down the road, and absolutely, there's some fabulous things that you can do with an iPad, and it's light enough that you don't need to carry 7 books in your backpack, and you won't have that excuse of leaving it in your locker.
And if you have 4 textbooks, it probably costs more than what an iPad does anyway,
mm-hmm.
or the equivalent thereof.
And as more and more publishers put their textbooks out there for use, it becomes more of a viable option for our school and for others too. But that's something that we've been open to, and if the opportunity presents itself, we would certainly pounce on it.
There's still a pretty strong emphasis on classic literature and literature. What about like the Nooks or the Kindles for that, instead of buying new sets of readers every year, just because mm-hmm. everybody treats them with such loving, tender care? Is that something at $100 that's more practical than perhaps the larger?
That certainly is. And as we, this 100-year jubilee celebration of the sisters has kind of got us thinking as a school of, you know what, there's a rich history behind us. There's things that we haven't quite opened our minds up to yet that is possibilities for us. You know, in resource-wise, you know, things in any school are tough day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year. And to think beyond, 2, 3, 5-year, 10-year plans down the road, when you've got, you know, day-to-day things that are just so difficult, it seems hard to overcome. The celebration has got us thinking, what's the next 100 years going to look like? How can we take advantage of those things that are happening right now to position ourselves ahead of others? And it has really opened our eyes towards, you know what, these things are possible. We've got a rich alumni base out there. Let's find out how far we can go with this. I threw out $1 million. Let's get surprised.
Upside.
Oh, you bet.
Okay. it sounds like you're enjoying your break.
Yes.
And getting fired up, and you'll be back there just in time to beat the kids back to school.
We are working hard. It's a lot of people in the office working, and nobody's really taking it off. We've got a lot of momentum going.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs from your love. See you tomorrow morning.